Well, Shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to jump into his word today. We are going to be doing our third teaching from the book of 2 Chronicles, and we're going to be talking about Hezekiah this week. So we're going to be in chapter 32. So let's go ahead and read our first verse here. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 10. Thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, on what are you trusting that you are remaining in Jerusalem under siege? Is not Hezekiah inciting you to give yourselves over to die by hunger and by thirst, saying, Yahweh our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria? So where we are here is the king of Assyria has brought his army and he has a siege around the city of Jerusalem, okay? And this king was a very powerful king. He had conquered many nations before coming to Jerusalem. He was a very known and feared king at this moment in time. So he has this siege around the city of Jerusalem, and then he begins to send his messengers into the city of Jerusalem to strike fear in the heart of the people living in the city. And what we see here is, what is his message? And that's kind of one of the things I want to dive into this week, is the message that this king is laying out to the people in Jerusalem. What is the motive? Of course, his motive is he wants to conquer the city of Jerusalem. He wants the people of Jerusalem to surrender unto him. And so we're going to see the things in which he speaks, okay, in order to get the people in Jerusalem to surrender to him. So the first thing that he does is he begins to bring doubt. He tries to sow doubt that Yahweh will deliver them. What does he say about Hezekiah? He's inciting you, okay? Saying that Yahweh our God will deliver you from me, from my hand, okay? Now, the king of Assyria has no respect for Yahweh. And up until this point, every nation that he had gone against, that he had conquered, the gods of those nations were unable to protect them from the hand of the king of Assyria, right? So he's like, he says, Yahweh, our God, will deliver you. He's trying to bring that doubt, that wavering of thought, causing them to think, well, maybe Yahweh will not deliver us. Maybe he cannot deliver us from this king. Maybe it's better for us to just surrender. If he can get the people of Jerusalem to start thinking along those lines, instead of having faith in God, then he can defeat them. And so that's his motive. That's his purpose. And that is very much how the enemy works against us. The enemy comes and he speaks to us. And one of the things that he tries to do when he talks to us is to bring doubt, to cause us to doubt God's promises, to doubt his word, to doubt his benefits, his blessings, to doubt the fact that he is a covenant-keeping God, and that he will do what he has said he will do. If he can cause us to doubt and cause us to lose faith, then he can conquer and he can win. Because that's his ultimate desire, is to conquer and win over us. So in order to do so, he has to sow doubt. He has to remove faith from us. Let's look at what Yeshua said about faith. This is Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, speaking of what we are able to do if we have faith, if we choose to hold on to faith and not have doubt. And Yeshua answered and said to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. For this reason, I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted unto you. So what Yeshua is saying here is that to the person who has faith, to the one who does not doubt, that person can say to the mountain to be moved. They can cast it into the sea. What is he saying? What he's saying is, there is nothing that is too strong or too powerful that we cannot defeat, that we cannot speak against if we have faith. If we have that faith that does not doubt. So we think about that in terms of what we were just talking about with the king of Assyria laying the siege around Jerusalem. Here is what is known as one of the most powerful kings on earth at the time, which in the physical realm looked like certain doom was coming towards the people in Jerusalem. In the physical, it looked like there is a mountain in front of them. What Yeshua is saying, if you have faith in God, you can move that mountain. That mountain will be gone. So if we have faith and do not doubt, we can pray and we can ask and we can believe that we will receive what we ask for, that it will be granted to us. Our faith is a very powerful thing that brings results. And the enemy is fully aware of that. And he does not want to see us walking in faith and moving mountains. So what does the enemy do? He attacks our faith. He comes and he speaks to us. He attempts to speak to us. We have to be willing to shut his voice out. But he attempts to speak to us to remove that faith so that instead of having faith, we have doubt. So that we have a wavering mind. We're tossed to and fro. Let's look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. And hope against hope, he believed. This is Paul talking about Abraham. So that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your seed be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to do. Therefore, it was also counted to him as righteousness. So Paul, speaking of the faith of Abraham, he outlines what things look like in the physical. But Abraham did not look at what he was seeing in the physical world, what things looked like with his eyes. But instead, he chose to have faith in the promise of God. And that's what we need to learn to be, to have faith in the promise of God, not looking at what's going on in the natural. We put our belief and our faith in his word, in his character, in who he is. He is a faithful covenant keeping God, who keeps his promises to those who are in covenant with him, to those who love him. We show our love for him by being obedient unto his word. Our faith actually is exemplified. Our faith is shown by what we do. When we walk in obedience, we show we have faith in him. Okay? So Abraham did not waver in unbelief. He never wavered. He never chose not to believe that God would do what he said he would do. It says, but he grew strong in faith. His faith became stronger. So not only did he not waver, get tossed back and fro, doubting whether or not God would do it or not do it, but he grew in his faith. So his belief and his expectation that God's promise was going to happen grew even stronger. That's what we need to learn to do. Not to waver on his promises, but to grow stronger in faith over what he has promised us. And he was fully assured that what God had promised him, he knew for a fact, he was assured, he knew that what he had promised, he was able to do, and he was going to do it. Are you fully assured that what God has promised, that he is able to do it, and he will do it? And because Abraham had that faith, it was counted unto him as righteousness. Now let's look at James chapter 1 and verse 6. But he must ask in faith, doubting nothing. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So James is telling us that we must ask in faith, doubting nothing. Okay. So for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, right? So the surf, as you watch the waves crash in the ocean, it is dictated and driven by the wind. So if we become one who doubts, then we are driven and tossed by the wind. Or you could say we are driven and tossed by our emotions. We are driven and tossed by the circumstances that we are in. We are driven and tossed by the things that our eyes see in the physical world. So when trouble comes, or as we could say, when the waves of life come, we are tossed to and fro by the waves of life, by the troubles of life, by the perils of life, by our emotions, by what we see in the world, by how we're feeling, instead of being driven and motivated by faith. And so that will cause us to change in our behavior. It will cause the way that we expect God to move to change. The waves are bigger or smaller depending upon the wind. Does your circumstances affect how strong your faith is? See, for the one who is tossed back and forth, to the one whose expectation for God to answer his prayer is affected by their circumstances, by their feelings, and what their eyes are seeing, to that man ought not to expect anything from the Lord. That person should not expect God to answer his prayer. But to the one who remains faithful, who is strong in faith, who no matter what they see with their eyes, the circumstances, how they're feeling, their faith does not waver. Their expectation does not waver. They are fully assured that God will answer that prayer to that person. God will answer their prayer. To the one who wavers is likened unto a double-minded man. His ways are unstable. Meaning, you act one way one day and another way the next day because your mind is unstable. When you are driven by how you feel, by your circumstances, and what is going on around you, you are unstable. You are a double-minded person. And that person is not full of faith. That person will not receive anything from the Lord. And that's what the enemy wants. Because he knows if he can get you in that spot, he can defeat you. He can win. He renders you powerless. And that's what he wants. So he comes, just as the king of Assyria did, speaking words of doubt so he can render you powerless, so he can defeat you, so he can win, so you will not receive anything from the Lord. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 12, going back to our story with Hezekiah. Has not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before one altar and you shall offer offerings up in smoke? So now the king is bringing a word, or he's speaking, trying to bring doubt of the blessings that will come upon Israel for their obedience. Remember, the Torah speaks of how they would have blessings if they walk in his ways. How God would be their God. He would deliver them. He would protect them. He would deliver them from their enemies if they worshiped him and him alone. And that's what Hezekiah had done. Hezekiah went and tore down all the high places, because before him, they were worshiping idols. They were worshiping other deities. They were in pagan worship. So Hezekiah comes in, tears all that down. And upon tearing all that down, he renews Israel into a right standing, into a faithful covenant with Yahweh. So now here comes the enemy trying to sow doubt in the minds of the people of Jerusalem that they're doing the right thing. Attacking the fact that they're going to receive the blessing from that obedience. How many times does the enemy do that to us? Does he bring temptation to us and says, what good thing is coming from you walking in obedience? What good thing is happening because you choose to be obedient to my word? He begins to sow doubt in our minds that the blessing is truly there for those who believe in him and walk in obedience to his word. And if we give heed to that voice, then the enemy can defeat us. So we have to be careful of that. So that's the second thing the enemy did to sow doubt or to conquer Jerusalem, was to attack the blessing that comes from obedience. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 13. Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of the lands? Were the gods of the nations of the lands able at all to deliver their hand from my hand? Who was there among the gods of these nations which my father devoted to destruction, who could deliver his people from my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? So now, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or incite you like this. And do not believe him, for no good of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? now he is speaking of all the nations that he has conquered. And he's saying, who is your God that's different from the other gods, right? Hezekiah's message to them was to trust Yahweh. The king of Assyria is saying, why should you trust in Yahweh? He is trying to get them not to listen to Hezekiah's voice. Okay? So the question that we have and that the people of Jerusalem had to choose at that moment in time was, whose voice were they going to listen to? Were they going to listen to Hezekiah's voice, or were they going to listen to the voice of the king of Assyria? Every day we face that struggle. We face that battle. Whose voice are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to Yahweh? Or are we going to listen to the ruler of this world, the prince of this world? Which one are we going to listen to? Yeshua said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of the stranger they do not give heed to. They do not listen to the voice of the stranger. If we're going to walk in covenant with him, if we're going to be a people who are full of faith, strong in faith, unwavering, not doubting, assured of his promises, we need to be a people who hear the voice of Yahweh and we tune out the voice of this world. And that's where the people of Israel had to choose. Who were they going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? Well, ultimately, the people of Jerusalem chose to listen to Hezekiah. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 16. His servants spoke further against Yahweh God and against his servant Hezekiah. He also wrote letters to reproach Yahweh, the God of Israel, to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of the lands have not delivered your people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. And they called this out with a loud voice in the language of Judah to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to instill fear and terrify them so that they might capture the city. He wanted to instill fear in the people of Jerusalem because if they had fear, if they were in fear, he knew he could conquer the land. The enemy wants to install fear in you. If he can install fear in you, then he can conquer you. So when the enemy comes trying to instill fear in you, you have to tune his voice out. You have to turn him off, and instead you have to learn to listen to the voice of Yahweh and embrace what he is saying and have a fullness of faith, assuredness that he will do what he has said he will do, that he will do what he has promised. And if we can reject the fear and embrace faith, we will conquer. But if instead we choose fear instead of faith, then the enemy will conquer. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 19. And they spoke of the God of Jerusalem as of the gods of the peoples of the earth, the work of men's hands. But King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, prayed about this and cried out to heaven. And Yahweh sent an angel who wiped out every mighty man of valor, ruler, and commander, and in the camp and the king of Assyria. So he returned in shame to his own land, and he entered the house of his God, and some of his own children caused him to fall there by the sword. So Yahweh saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib and the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and he guided them on every side. So Hezekiah and Isaiah prayed. They cried out to heaven. They had faith. They trusted in Yahweh. The people of Jerusalem did not waver. They followed the voice of their king. And because they did it, Yahweh sent an angel who wiped out the commanders and the rulers of the king of Assyria. And he went home and he was killed by his own children. Because they chose not to waver, Yahweh delivered the people of Jerusalem. If we will choose not to waver, he will deliver us. He will send his angels on our behalf to fight for us, to minister unto us, and to lead us and to guide us. He is a loving God, a faithful God, a covenant-keeping God who is wanting and desiring to fulfill his promises in our lives. If we would just choose to have faith and not doubt. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.